Human beings have two distinct natures that are often confused and seen as one. And that recognizing these two natures in a human being as two distinct natures is crucial for anyone's spiritual growth and development. We cannot evolve spiritually unless we recognize these two natures. The first nature is what we call tabi'a. We come to this world, we all know that our stay in this world is temporary. We acknowledge this time and time again, that we have come to this world for a trial, we've come to this world for a test, we've come here for a short while, this is not our final abode, we will die and go to our permanent homes. We know this. To survive that physical experience on this planet, so to speak, we have a physical body. This physical body is driven by an instinct, an animal-like instinct. And it is this nature, this animal-like nature that we call tabi'a, animal instinct or nature, that is similarly found in animals just as it is found in us. For example, animals spend all day foraging for food. We do the same. They might roam around in jungles and forests hunting animals. We wear a suit and sit in our cars and drive on the highway, but we're still foraging for food. We see that in our eating habits, in our sleeping habits, in how we reproduce, in how we relieve ourselves, in our physical nature, in how we're constantly in search of pleasure or fleeing from pain or fighting for survival, we are no different from the other creatures and species on this planet. And this is the result of that nature that is called tabi'a. In order to ensure that we do not forget our true identity, that we are not the physical self, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then wired us with a far more superior nature that is more innate, that is more deeply ingrained in us, and that is called fitrah. Now fitrah as well, sometimes we translate it as instinct. But here when we speak of fitrah, we will define it as a divinely inspired nature that is unique to human beings. And it is this fitrah that is mentioned in the verse of Quran, that from Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30 of the Quran, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Set your heart, set your faces, set your direction upon the pure faith, upon this deena hanifa. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ. That divine nature that Allah has set mankind on. فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. You will not find any change or any alteration in how Allah has created this. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. That is the upright religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people do not know this. So there is an emphasis here that your understanding of religion as well, when we say Islam is the most natural religion, Islam does not oppose human nature. What we mean is it does not oppose your fitrah. We do not mean it does not oppose your tabi'ah. So in other words, our fitrah is a compass within all of us that always points to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something you cannot change. You can hide it, you can deny it, you can attempt to skew it, you can justify it, but you cannot change it. It always points to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like having a massive ship in which there is a compass. The compass will point to a particular direction. The captain on the ship might decide to ignore the compass, might decide, I am gonna go in a different direction. He might move the whole ship, everything will move in a different direction. But the compass will still point to one direction. It will refuse any other way. This is to ensure that you have no excuse on the day of judgment for going astray. Most of the problems in humanity is a result of confusing these two, or ignoring the fitrah and allowing tabi'a to take over our nature. If we can recognize the difference between these two and the importance of fitrah over tabi'a, then the potential for change within us is so massive, we can change in such a radical manner that it is no less radical than the transformation or the metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly. Hence the subject, freeing the butterfly within. In other words, we all come to this world as caterpillars. Our mission, if we so choose to accept it, is to evolve into that butterfly. And we will make this our analogy, where we constantly, when we talk of going from tabi'ah to fitrah, we will see this as going from that worm-like or caterpillar-like state to that butterfly state. What are the pains and suffering that we should expect in the process of evolving into this butterfly state? What are the signs and characteristics of a tabi'ah-oriented individual versus a fitrah-oriented individual? What difference does it make to human beings when you are under a government or a society that is tabi'ah-oriented or driven versus a society or a government that is fitrah-driven or oriented? If we start with this assumption and this supposition that my true self is my soul and not my body, and my body is simply a carrier for my soul while I live on this world, then it would be safe to also say that fitrah is that which drives your soul. Tabi'ah is that which drives your body. Okay? This is an initial assumption we make. Most of the challenges we face in life, whether it is temptation, a lot of young people will say, why is it so difficult to resist temptation? Okay. Or for example, the lack of courage. The lack of courage to say the truth or do the right thing. Whether it is the courage to resist the temptation of sin, or whether it is the courage to speak up against an oppressor. When we ask this question that if I was in Karbala, would I have been able to do what the companions of Sayyid al-Shuhada did? Essentially, the answer to this, the reason why we are not able to resist temptation or have that courage that we want to have within us, is because we do not distinguish between tabi'ah and fitrah. And because we do not distinguish between these two, we tend to be more tabi'ah driven, because that, as we shall see, is more instinctive. Or to put it differently, when you do not recognize fitrah, then you identify with the body as your real self. Half the challenge is to disidentify from the body and say, I am not the body. It is one thing to say that, yes, I know I am not the body, and I know this body will die, and I know I am meant to live forever, and I know the body is a carrier. But to live a life with this awareness, with this disidentification from the body, is not easy. Tomorrow morning, when you're sitting in traffic, you forget that. You identify completely. When the temptation faces us, we no longer remember, I am not the body. Why? Because we do not distinguish between tabi'ah and fitrah. To understand the importance of disidentifying from this body, or to help us disidentify from the body, I would like us to suppose and work on the assumption that we are aliens on this planet. It is amazing that we are in search of aliens, when in fact we are aliens, we do not belong here. If only we would search for ourselves instead of searching for aliens. Now, if we are aliens who have come from a different world, and we have come to this planet only for a purpose, we are here to learn certain lessons. We have come here as a blank canvas, or we have come here as a block, and we are sculpting at this block and evolving our souls. We are developing something that will emerge at the time of death. Then in order to survive in this harsh environment and in this planet where other animals roam as aliens, we would have to come into a body that can survive on this planet, into a body that can breathe the air in this planet, that can eat the food in this planet. And that is exactly what it is. Now that we have to come to this world, we live in this body that is very humble, but that is perfect for this environment. And it is for this reason that you see this dichotomy, or this strange difference between how divine, how pure, how magnificent the human soul is, when Allah speaks of it, versus the physical body and how humble it is, isn't it? Think of how we eat. What do we eat? We grow things from the ground, plants, fruits. We kill animals and we eat the carcass of dead animals. We wash the blood away and then we roast it on fire. And then with these digits and bones, we pick that flesh of dead animals, and we have a hole in the face we call a mouth. We put that in and then it goes down a pipe and it gets... And this is our body. Why are we so weak, so humble, so base outwardly? Because we are aliens here. So an alien needs a body to carry it. And if we take that in mind, then we immediately disidentify. Now we are thinking very differently, isn't it? Now we are thinking, I'm not from this planet. I'm from somewhere else. Can we find this idea of coming down to a lower, baser form in this world from Islam? Yes. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah describes after the Prophet Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, after they eat from that forbidden tree, they are now being sent to the world. Allah does not say to Adam and Hawa, go now to the world. قُلْنَهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُونَ We said to them, descend and go down, where you will now be enemies to each other. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَطَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ And on this earth now, you shall have an abode for a little while, and sustenance, or a means and a provision for a short while.